Stephen Harper, to join with you in prayerful remembrance of those who were so brutally and cowardly murdered last week at the Yeshivat Merkaz Harav in Jerusalem. The death of those whose lives were taken, the injuries inflicted on those who still live, remind us all that every day to live as a Jew in Israel is to face an existential threat. It reminds us that there are those who will use violence as a tool against the Jewish people, anywhere, anytime, for any reason. We've seen before the attacks on buses, in discotheques, in hotels, but now we see these attacks happening in a sacred place of worship in the study of God's Word. And it reminds us that nowhere are the Jewish people immune from this kind of violence. I can tell you as a Catholic that the prayers you offer this morning are joined by those of millions of others, of Christians, of Catholics, of people, I hope, of all faiths, particularly this morning, to ask that those whose lives are taken will live in eternal glory, and that those who have been injured, including the young Canadian, Nadav Samuels, will survive. We know that these attacks will not end. And we know that to prevent them, strong measures are needed, which is why I was proud that Canada, once again, was one of only 54 countries at the United Nations Human Rights Council last week to vote against a resolution seeking to condemn Israel for simply defending its civilians, its citizens. There are those, tragically a majority of countries in the international bodies, who cannot seem to make a clear distinction between terrorism and counterterrorism, between aggression and defense, between real peace and violence motivated by hatred. Thankfully, Canada is not one of those countries. Thankfully, Canada's policy is not governed by this kind of perverse moral equivalence. And so, this morning, and while we join together prayerfully, in the memory of those whose lives have been taken, we think of all, not just the eight this past week, but all of the thousands whose lives have been taken in Israel over the past years, simply for the crime of being Jews, and simply because their people want the right and the dignity of having a homeland. So thank you for reminding us that Canada must stand in solidarity with these innocents and with their families, now and always. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Minister. And please convey to the Prime Minister our good wishes for his support, for his continued support. I'd like to acknowledge the presence of the Consul General of Israel, the Honorable Amir Gissin, who is with us this morning. At this time, it's a privilege to call upon the Muradasa Rabbi Taub to introduce our guest speaker.
Thank you, Jerry. For most of us here, I think that an introduction of Rav Sholem Gold is not necessary. However, for those who are not familiar, Rabbi Gold was one of the Gedolei HaRabbonim of this community for many years. He was the Rav of Congregation B'nai Torah. He was a leading rabbi in this community as well as in New York, where he went on to the Young Israel of West Hempstead. And most importantly for all of us, he is a Rebbe to so many here in so many ways, but particularly in his Ahavas and Chavivas Tzion. Rabbi and Rebbetzin Gold made Aliyah many years ago, where Rabbi Gold founded Kehilat Zichron Yosef in Har Nof, Yerushalayim. Also founded the Jerusalem College for Adults, which is today known as the Avram Silver Jerusalem College for Adults, where hundreds of Dovrei Anglit, Olim, come to study Torah under the deanship of Rabbi Gold. It is a pleasure and a kavod and an honor. Unfortunately, under circumstances, we would rather have foregone to call upon for Divrei Hisorus Rabbi Sholem, Rabbi Dr. Sholem Gold.
For the last number of years, there is a medrash that has haunted me and does not give me peace. I want to share that medrash with you and what it is that we here today have to learn from it. The Medrash says, Kishachorav Beit HaMikdash, as the Beit HaMikdash was about to be destroyed, Hoya HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bochev Va'omer, God Himself was crying, God was weeping, and He said, Bonai, my sons, where are you? My priests, where are you? Those who love me, where are you? He wanted somebody to feel his pain. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeYirmiyahu, the Holy One, blessed be, he said to Yirmiyahu, the prophet, very difficult sentence to say, but it will define recent events. Ani domeh hayom la'adam, God says to Yirmiyahu, I feel now like a man. Shahayalo ben Yechidi, who had a one and only son, for also lo chupa, and he's about to bring him to the chupa, umet b'to chupato, and he dies at the chupa. God wants to give Yirmiyahu a feeling of how God sees the destruction of the temple, and what he uses is the metaphor of a young person on the threshold of life, cut down. That's Churban. Eight young people cut down brutally. Eight times Churban. That's how God would look at it. Churban Bet HaMikdash in that great Mikdash that is Yeshivat Merkaz HaRav. There is a second part to the Medrash. And that second part to the Medrash is something that is going to be a message for us, and this haunts me even more than the first part.
Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeYirmiyahu, God says to Yirmiyahu, go to the Maarat HaMachpelah, wake up Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, because they are my friends and they know how to sympathize with me, they know how to cry. Lechu kro l'Avraham, l'Yitzchak, l'Yaakov, and Moshe, make kivrehem from their graves. Shehem yodim lifkot, they know how to cry. Miyad, immediately, Yirmiyahu went to Hebron, to the Maarat HaMachpelah, and he said to the fathers, the patriarchs, he said to them, arise, imdu, shehigi azman, shatem midbakshim lifnei HaKadosh Baruch, the time has come that you are called to stand before God. Listen carefully. Amru lo, they said to Yirmiyahu, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe said to Yirmiyahu, Lama, why are we being called to stand before God? Amar lehem, he said to them, Eini yodea, I don't know. But he does know. But he does know. He knows very well why God wants them. And the Medrash goes on to conclude by saying, Yipnei shahayam mityarei, he was afraid, shelo yomru lo, that Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov and Moshe should not say to him, Biyomecha haita libaneinu zot, this happened to our children in your days, Yirmiyahu? In your days this happened? Yirmiyahu is frightened. He's terrified. You know what the meaning of this medrash is? We sometimes, or we oftentimes, like to think that the judgment of history comes somewhere later in time. What will our children or grandchildren say about how we conducted ourselves in the affairs of Klal Yisrael? The Medrash is saying very clearly that the judgment of history brooks no delay. It doesn't wait. There is absolutely no reprieve. The judgment of history is here, now, immediate. Yirmiyahu understands that Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, all of Jewish history, everybody who preceded him is judging him. And they're going to ask him the question, Biyomecha haita libaneinu zot, this happened to our children in your day? And Yirmiyahu, who for 40 years walked the streets of Yerushalayim crying out on behalf of God, is afraid that he may be asked that question and will not have the answer. I told this medrash to a prime minister of the state of Israel in the sukkah of Rabbi Avram Shapiro Zecher Tzadik V'Kodesh Levracha, the one who stood at the helm of Merkaz HaRav for over 50 years and who passed away on the first day of Sukkot. I feel fortunate that during the course of the last 14 years I got to know Rabbi Avram Shapiro, sat many, many hours at hundreds of meetings in his living room. Rabbi Avram Shapiro was courageous, he was fearless, he was a giant in Torah. Tens, if not hundreds of thousands of Jews in Eretz Yisrael are his students. On the hills of Yehuda v'Shomron, Aza, throughout Eretz Yisrael, the Yeshivot Hezder, the Mechinot Kabam Tzvayot, you name it. The religious Zionist community were the students of Rabbi Avraham Shapiro Zecher Tzadik Livracha. He is sorely missed because he never paid attention to what is politically correct. He spoke, and he spoke clearly, with no fear whatsoever. Eretz Yisrael belongs to the Jewish people. No one has the right to give it away. Yerushalayim, all of Yerushalayim, is our Yerushalayim. No one has the right to divide that city in half. One of the few that I can remember, I convinced him at one of the demonstrations against Oslo. He was already in his middle 80s, he died in his middle 90s, to march out into the center of Yerushalayim. And holding hands, there was a row. Rav Nachum Rabinowitz was there, Rav Chaim Drukman, Rav Zalman Malamed, all holding hands, marching through the streets of Yerushalayim to protest a peace that is no peace. Oy, what pain Rabbi Avraham would have had. What terrible, terrible pain. You would have told him about a two-state solution? He would have said, the only solution about a two-state solution is, God forbid, the final solution of the state of Israel. Go bring the enemy right in. Give him half of Yerushalayim. He won't have to send the killer into Merkez Arav. He'll just send Katyushas, Kassams. No need for Kalachnikovs anymore. I have to say I was embarrassed. And I've been embarrassed this way on a number of occasions, many occasions. We don't even know who the dead are yet. And the foreign ministry announces for the 1,000th time the peace process will continue. What process? What peace? And what happens if it would have been suspended for the days of the Shiva? For a reassessment? What would have happened to the forces of peace that bring us death? The time has come that we can no longer live in a world of fantasy. We cannot live illusions. We have to be able to see reality straight on as it is. In a word, there can be no festivities on Purim if it's not preceded by Parshas Zachar. The essence of Parshas Zachar is, and I'm taking the words of Rav Soloveitchik, there were four discoveries that were made by the Jewish people in Shushan Habira. One, that man can become Satan. Man can become a beast. Two, they learned that man, Satan, will target the Jewish people above all others. Number three, they learned, man, Satan, who targets Jews, is capable of using the most horrific means to destroy them, and if possible, to destroy them utterly. The fourth thing that Jews learned in Shushan Abira, man, Satan, does not differentiate between any of the shades of Jews. They can be Orthodox, Conservative, Reform, Haredi, Dati Leumi, or all of the other shades in the middle. All are the ones that he's out after. If
you don't understand the meaning of Parsha Zachor, you can't sit down by a Sudas Purim, because you haven't learned the lesson. It must always precede Purim. Parsha Zachor is the mitzvah to take a look at the reality of the Jewish situation in the world. Unfortunately, we needed the Thursday night tragedy to bring it home. And only response is the peace process will continue. We're dealing with Pikuach Nefesh of Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. Jewish lives are at stake. Sderot, Ashkelon, Netivot, Yerushalayim, Tel Aviv. All over. When there is Pikuach Nefesh, then there is a responsibility to speak out. Don't be politically correct. Leman Tzion lo echeshel, leman Yerushalayim lo eshkot. I will not remain silent for the sake of Yerushalayim and Tzion. Last night, Tillim was set here in Shul after Maariv. Al Naharos Bavel was said. In Al Naharos Bavel, we have the eternal oath that resounds across the centuries, the oath that was taken by the Jewish people at the rivers of Babylon. Im eshkachech Yerushalayim tishkach yemini, if I forget you, Yerushalayim, let my right hand forget its cunning. They didn't say, if I forget half of Yerushalayim, let my right hand forget its cunning. But there's a far deeper message in that oath. There are three parts to the oath. Im eshkachech Yerushalayim tishkach yemini, if I forget Yerushalayim, let my right hand forget its cunning. The hand represents action. I'm ready to act and do on behalf of Yerushalayim. Tidbak lishoni lechiki im lo ezkerechi. Let my tongue cleave to the palate of my mouth if I will not talk about you. Not only deed but word, to be able to speak out courageously and fearlessly leman Yerushalayim. Im lo ale et Yerushalayim al rosh simchati. I will always bring Yerushalayim up in my thoughts at the moment of my greatest joy. In thought, in word, and in deed, our ancestors committed themselves to Yerushalayim at the rivers of Babylon. That's precisely the call for action to us now. And if, unfortunately, this call to action is going to place us in conflict with fellow Jews, because that's where the battle is taking place now, so be it. Wasn't it Mordechai who said to Esther, Im hacharesh tacharishi le'et hazot, if you will remain silent at this time, who knows if you will ever be at the helm of government again? People are in positions of power in order to work on behalf of Klal Yisrael. That places upon them the responsibility to speak out. Be honest. Forthright. Jewish lives are at stake. It means that each and every one of us has a responsibility to do. Not enough to say Tillim. Absolutely not enough. The Mabit, one of the great Rishonim, who was a member of the Beit Din of Rabbi Yosef Karo, they were together in Tzfat, 16th century, writes at the beginning of his Sefer Beit Elokim that the definition of prayer is Bakoshas ha'odom mehakel. It's one sentence. And I want to talk about only two words. Bakoshas ha'odom mehakel, a request that man makes of God, ha'nitzraklo, something that he needs, something that's a necessity. ve'eino b'rishuto, and there's nothing in his power that he can do. If there's nothing in his power that he can do, then he turns to Ribbono Shel Olam, God Almighty, I've tried everything, I have no choice but to cast my burden upon you. But if there's something that you can do that you didn't do, prayer is an exercise in futility. The Ribbono Shel Olam will simply look down and say, krank bist du to do something? You can't go out there and do? Talk, write, demonstrate, help Sderot. Do something. Without action, without thought must bring to word, word must bring to deed. Over the years, and with this I conclude, a pasuk in Yeshayahu, and I once described a number of years ago from this pulpit, I described that pasuk. At the end of chapter 65 in Yeshayahu, he says, V'galti b'Yerushalayim, he's speaking in the name of God, V'galti b'Yerushalayim, v'sasti b'ami, I will be full of joy with Yerushalayim, and I will be happy with my people. V'lo yisham haba, and there shall no longer be heard in Yerushalayim kol b'chi v'kol z'aka, the sound of weeping and the sound of wailing shall no longer be heard in Yerushalayim. I remember describing here during those years that buses were blowing up, we had become attuned in Yerushalayim, very finely attuned. You heard the siren of an ambulance going through the streets, you took notice. But it could simply be somebody who's ill. When you heard a second siren, you went to the radio. A second siren means that there's been a terrorist attack in Yerushalayim. And we were never wrong. I'm thinking now, I was not in Yerushalayim Thursday night. In fact, I was supposed to have a meeting with Rabbi Avram's son, Rabbi Yaakov, at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, Thursday. The meeting was originally supposed to be on Wednesday. It had to be changed to Thursday, and I told Rabbi Yaakov, I have to leave for Chutz Laretz. But I can imagine what it was like in Yerushalayim. Not one, not the sound, the za'aka of one ambulance, not two, not three, 50 ambulances came to the scene. Can you imagine the kol b'chi, the sound of weeping and the sound of wailing in Yerushalayim? Our tefillah must be, v'galti b'Yerushalayim v'sasti, for I will be happy with Yerushalayim, v'lo yisham haba, there shall no longer be heard in Yerushalayim or anywhere in Eretz Yisrael, kol b'chi, v'kol za'aka, the sound of weeping and the sound of wailing. So much of it depends on each and every one of us. I'm sure you're going to rise to the challenge of your times, because you're being judged now. The judgment is now. Would our parents, grandparents, and Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov be happy with us? Have we done enough? Or should we, like Yirmiyahu, be frightened and be afraid that they may very well ask us, Meinu hoysal banecha zos, this is what happened in your days to our children. We're going to rise to the challenge. We are not going to remain silent. L'man tzion lo echeshe, u'l'man Yerushalayim lo eshko.
Children is the only safe and tenacious God is saying.